How'd you know how to do that?
Okay, Peanut, where do you want to go first?
Pluto.
Pluto. Close your eyes and go to sleep. Weightless.
I'm taking Luca to the clinic. You march in there and you talk to the wrong person, you're screwed.
The visa for your bone marrow transplant, it's expired.
I was a doctor in one of the busiest medical centers in Manila.
I'm afraid we can't help you.
Can you really turn away a five-year-old boy?
You're an illegal.
Listen to me, you know how much money I lost on that fight?
I'm just the cleaning lady. I can help you make this disappear.
You have a great attention to detail.
I take pride in my work.
I want you on call. You and I are both in a country that's not our own. It's not about doing things the right way or the wrong way.
Everybody's got a price.
Any way you can.
When they're on the wrong side, are they gone?
Why do you want me to work for you?
Because I don't want to have to kill you.
Wipe everything clean.
I did what I did to stay alive.
You need to stay invisible.
Your son is sick. I can help you.
Tony De La Rosa?
We have a few questions for you.
But this is not who I am.
Welcome back, you all. You know I never let you down. Good to be back here, just always discussing just some engaging material. So once again, we got another lovely and pleasant surprise from Fox TV and Warner Brothers Entertainment. We got, again, it's about the billionth time that I, your host Sully, have just taken on a show where a movie or show has just, you know, been a remake of another popular foreign show. We've already had Your Honor, which was like a Israeli show and has been adapted just in every other country now, including in America on Showtime, where Bryan Cranston plays a compromised judge trying to free his son when he gets in legal trouble. In breaking every code he once stood for. We've had Homeland, which again was a remake of another classic show, and just it doesn't matter what version of a show you typically see. I mean, sometimes it does, but other times it 24 was remade in Japan and India. We've had CSI remade as well, Criminal Minds, and regardless of what version you're familiar with, you know, movies and TV shows like The Fugitive have also shown that's possible to do. I was an extra on Queen of the South, and long story short, I was just very let down when I actually saw the final product. I've heard, you know, I didn't expect much when it's based off a telenovela, but it was just very underwhelming. And I was worried about the same here. I was like, is this a Queen Pin? Is this another person on the run? What the hell is the cleaning lady? And again, I knew it was a remake, it's an update, but I had more, passion invested in this. I was like, okay, but this has been developed, you know, again, internationally. Various people are, involved in this. And much like The Office, they remade it just about every other country, or they're about to. I was already familiar with the developer, Miranda Kwok. She's Canadian-American, Asian. Filmmaker. She worked as a staff writer on Spartacus: Blood and Sand before trying to remake a bunch of other movies and shows, and she was one of the main writers on The 100. And yeah, this is her first big break, just leading the way, and she decided to develop it with a bunch of other just actresses who had done some various movies and shows, and she was able to get The Cleaning Lady, you know, both season one and two done in 2021, because that's when we were aching for content. We were getting over COVID, and you know, I heard about the various actresses that were attached to it, but you know, they found the right one. The lead role, the title role, said cleaning lady is, you know, a former Manilan surgeon who's now trapped in Vegas as an undocumented immigrant, Tony De La Rosa, and played perfectly by Elodie Young. Yes, the French actress who is immortalized as Elektra on the Netflix Marvel show Daredevil. You've definitely also seen her on other movies and shows such as G.I. Joe Retaliation, District B-13 Ultimatum, and The Hitman's Bodyguard, where she was Ryan Reynolds' love interest. And of course, she has also done some motion capture for two separate episodes of Love, Death, and Robots. And yeah, it's just cool to know that once again, she can carry a show. She also was in one of the Call of Duty video games recently, but no, I'm a fan, and for good reason. It has nothing to do with how stunning she is when you actually look at her. It has everything to do with she has a very quiet atmosphere, and to her, she compliments everything on screen. I trust everything coming out of her mouth. She just has a very cinematic presence. And that says a lot, considering she's mostly done TV. And, you know, TV does not have to suck. People go back and forth. Oh, remember when TV was good? Oh, remember when TV sucked? I've always been a TV guy. I have always found so many cult movies and beloved and beyond underrated just narratives on the small screen that I adore. Again, I'm watching all kinds of movies and shows. I can watch a cool Stargate or Law and Order show as much as a just very intense show like Ray Donovan, Criminal Minds, Yellowstone, Alaska Daily, A Million Little Things, and even Psych. You know, there's something for everybody. And it's just so cool to know that, again, Fox, you know, they're always going to try and imitate their earlier stuff. They want to have an edgy sitcom like Married with Children down again, and they'll do that every other year. They want another X-Files type, you know, conspiracy or sci-fi show. They want another 24 type show where or a 911 wannabe. And this was a cool change of pace. They wanted to just say, you know, let's try another edgy gangster show. And instantly when watching it, I was like, you know, this is kind of their next Prison Break type show where a character is going to have to get their hands dirty, but, you know, for good reason. And it's not at all like Queen of the South, where you're just seeing so many much soap opera crap and uninteresting, you know, roles played by otherwise pretty solid actors. And there's just been so many underrated shows just flying under the radar, like Yellow Jackets and, you know, even other shows that are well liked, but not every podcast wants to cover, like Bosch. And it's just cool to just see that there's something for everybody now. And so let's get to the rest of the cast members. I'm not going to talk too much more about that. It is a cleaning lady, has her own business with her friend, and as a result, you know, gets into so many just walking the line, you know, between anti-hero and fugitive on the run. And just what do you do when the world is against you? It's not your oyster. So she is befriended by a gangster, Armand Morales, played by Aden Kanto. If that sounds familiar, you might know this handsome man from briefly playing one of the villains in X-Men Days of Future Past. He's been on some other big movies and shows. He played the real-life politician Rodrigo Lara Bonilla in Netflix shows Martin Narcos. He was the vice president Aaron Shore on Designated Survivor. That's, in my opinion, is his personally just dynamite role. He has also done a lot of stage work and other movies and shows, but he also briefly was on Second Chance, Mixology, and aside from his various other guest appearances, probably the one that really got him on the map was when he was in the first season of the serial killer drama with James Purefoy and Kevin Bacon, called The Following. He was so villainous as one of those cult serial killers who was doing everything, questioning how psychotic he was, how sexually promiscuous he was, and he is really good at just playing these hard to define roles, and he owns this role here. This might be my second personal favorite role of his. He just reminds me of Tony Almeida in 24, and even Kevin Costner's current role, John Dutton on Yellowstone. He is just really good at just playing this character who you can either root against, you know, you can root for their comeuppance, or you can actually side with, because you realize, okay, not a good person at all, but way different than the other pool, the other collective. He has a price for doing business, and he has a code of honor, and he does, you know, he's kind of almost semi like the Punisher, where if he finds anything petty you do, you know, he'll find dirt on you. He can do, go beyond just threatening or bribing or blackmailing. He will actually come to your doorstep and have a sit down. And if you don't want to keep your word, oh, it's on, baby. Get ready to, you know, and no hustling is going to shield him away from you. And it says a lot, because he has a deceptive wife who uses him. And so in many ways, he's actually surprisingly like Tony, and they come to understand one another. He's like, I'm going to keep you safe. I know you're a hardworking gal. You never sell anybody out, and you got some crazy shit that you got to take, you know, care for. You got to do a bone marrow transplant. I can't speak today. A bone marrow transplant for her sick son. She's got to avoid all these other councilmen. Once again, the FBI is onto her and tries to actually use her in a legal scheme to take down some of the other players in this illegal trafficking and drug cartel ring. And he just wants to keep her away from any kind of harm. Like, the minute he finds out it's going to be a bad night, he's just like, just take the pay and don't come in. And it's not just random coincidences. You actually get inside everyone's head. A lot of the good directors that have been involved with this, Mark Isham does a good job with the score. There may be like one or two filler episodes, but you know it's going somewhere special. So in the rare occasion that you see a less inspired director or one who's not necessarily good with crime or mystery or action per se, you let it slide. It's still very intriguing in a Breaking Bad, or again, you know, Ray Donovan kind of way. And it's just cool to see that on network TV. It's not shying away from CSI type gore. And at the same time, just again, just cool guest stars. Lou Diamond Phillips has directed a few episodes, and that's because, much like every other TV actor, there's many, including Peter Weller and such. If he has a recurring role on the show or a guest spot, he ends up also pretty much directing it a season later. And that's the case. He was a shady car dealership, head who basically is blackmailed. And he's basically coerced into, you know, having to be the bone marrow transplant guy. But then he has a change of heart, and, Tony's like, oh, he doesn't want to go with it. I'm not going to force him. And then he hears her sob story, and he's like, you know what? I got nothing going on. I have kids who don't talk to me. I got all those riches. I don't even, you know, I have nothing to live for. I'll fucking do it. And he doesn't survive, but his presence is kind of felt. Tony is not selfish at all. And again, Elodie Yong just echoes that so well here, you know. And I was even joking with my sister, who's a big, you know, superhero fan. I'm like, oh, Elektra's having to get her hands dirty. She thought that was really funny. But yeah, just some of the other, Michael Offer I saw was a UK screenwriter who's done some other crime shows. So the presence is felt. Like, this would be just as engaging if it were on UK or German or Israeli television. There's plenty of other great international shows that Netflix and Amazon have introduced us to, and this is no exception. Just all the other actors do a good job here. I like the shady councilman. And again, no one is focused on for way too long than it's worth. Sometimes some of the rap music gets a little annoying, but it's not overdone or crappy like in a Fast and Furious way where you're like, Jesus, that is just not music. That's just, you know, noise. Naveen Andrews, you might know from The English Patient, The Brave One, and even Lost. He was Saeed. He is really relentless here as basically a gangster who has to do business with Armand now in season two. And I'm sorry if I'm doing this all back to back. Again, season one was released in January of 2022. And, it's continued into this fall. They're very short seasons. I like how the TV game is now changing a bit. And again, just some very inspired filmmakers attached to this. And I just can't wait to see where it keeps going. And this really is something for everybody. There's some mystery. There's some action. There's some crime. There's a change of ethics for everybody here. And I really like Tony's partner in crime and loyal friend, Fiona. She's technically also the sister-in-law, but she wants to do everything. Tony's abusive husband returns out of the blue and kidnaps her son, like tries to take him across the border, things really get heated up here, and it's well earned. No one feels like they're just there to just move the plot along. They really do feel like they got, you know, demons that they're gonna unleash. And again, you know, for the billionth time, it's just cool to see people try to do their own thing without just trying to just imitate the shit out of Tarantino, Scorsese, Michael Mann, even David Ayer. You know, is like there's so many times where I was like, oh, I think they did that better in Training Day. That's a Breaking Bad knockoff, you know. And so much again, like if you like against any of their shows I mentioned, this will fit right at home. I've been able to interest a few other pals online on Facebook who are again into Ray Donovan or Better Call Saul, and they're just like, okay, you know, I'm listening. and they liked what they heard. And there's some other casual guest stars, Jay Mohr, the Saturday Night Live, you know, former comedian. He's been doing a lot of serious stuff lately, and he was really appropriately sleazy as one of the councilmen. But again, no subplot so far has gone where I'm like, where the fuck is this going? You know, it's never been overstaying its welcome or going on way too long or just feeling like it's there to fill time. And I felt like some of the other directors I saw attached had worked on shows like, again, Bones and other shows. So I think they're used to taking what sounds familiar and then just twisting it around a bit more. And I applaud them for that. There's been some women and other minority filmmakers working on this. And even people just known for just all kinds of roles, second assistant directors, stage managers, makeup, and comic books have been involved with this. So there's something for everybody. Tanya McKiernan, who had worked on all kinds of shows and is now the co-chair member of the Directors Guild, and has done everything from NYPD Blue to E-Ring to Women's Murder Club to Walking Dead and Blindspot and Mentalist. You know, it's just, these are chameleons, people who work everywhere. And Ben Bray, a famous stunt coordinator, he did an episode. TJ Scott, who's done everything from Spartacus and 12 Monkeys to Longmire and Gotham to Orphan Black and Star Trek Discovery. He's doing a good job on this. So again, I like the guys who have been around for a while who are really standing out. Don't get me wrong, there's way better filmmakers who I prefer. I definitely would have probably had someone like Brad Turner of Stargate or John Cassar of 24, or even some of the, again, other guys I've talked about from The Following or Designated Survivor do this, but that's okay. There's something for everybody, and I don't want to restrict the market. Help the little guy out. It can't always be Taquito Waititi or Kerry Scoglin or some other, you know, TV powerhouse. You got to have something for everybody. And this, along with The Lincoln Lawyer and Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power. That's right. I said it. It's a damn good show. Don't let the negative fanboys freaking out about diverse casts tell you otherwise. This has been a really good, surprising, pleasant, surprising show this year. And again, kudos to the Warner Brothers execs for greenlighting it, their production company. You can encounter it, I think, on HBO Max or on Hulu if you've already cut the cord. And check it out. It will deliver. I even got into it on the last day where they were taking down the season one episodes, and I could not get enough. I was like, oh, I got to watch one more. I guess I'm not getting any work done today. I'm watching the rest of this bitch. I'm watching this show go down. I'm watching it hit the fan. And again, you know, it's just cool to see, again, just how one episode might be a Fugitive on the Run episode, another episode would be a, oh shit, there's a dead body, who do we ask for a favor and basically owe our life to, you know. And it's just cool to see how characters can try and survive without doing just unlikable shit. Like, people, you know, they're not going to cover up bodies, but they're going to have to definitely give warnings or knock assholes out. They are not going to murder anybody. And at the same time, they're surrounded by murderers who give them employment, keep their green card up, but then at the same time, they have to avoid. And altogether, again, Kanto's character Morales is an intriguing gangster, because at the end of season one, he doesn't have his empire under, you know, inspection. He keeps getting harassed by the feds, even in season two when he's released from prison after barely surviving it. His rival turned partner Hayak, played by Naveed Navagan, who you might know from his very freaky portrayal on shows such as Legion and Homeland. Once again, he's another Iranian actor playing a Latino role. I'll go with it. Someone signed off on that. Actually, technically, he's playing an Arabian businessman, but whatever, you know, he puts on all kinds of accents in the various roles he's done. And it was just cool to just see him, you know, again, one minute he's pulling the strings, the next minute he's actually having to work unlikely with Morales. And so that was a cool back and forth report that they had going, both from an acting standpoint and from a plot twist standpoint. That's all you can do. You got to just keep challenging the viewer. And it's never to the point where you're like, ah, that episode didn't go anywhere, or there was a lot of car chases, but no resolution. No, it's pretty good at resolving some stuff and then opening up a new, you know, barrel of monkeys, a new barrel of problems, a new bunch of shit in the fan. And again, you know, I think I see at least 3 more years in it. If it wants to go to 10 years, bring it on. Something for everybody. And once again, you know, it's just cool to see someone who's got to, again, get their hands dirty, make a living, and then just their world just starts rupturing, starts tearing them down, and then they got to start all over. That's very intriguing drama. It's very cool from a screenwriter perspective. And it's also just cool as a viewer to just see that not everything is as it seems or as it's initially perceived or as you can easily predict, let alone just, again, when we compare all these shows to each other, we want something that really does just kind of, it's more than just trying to be edgy or push the limit of what can be allowed on any kind of channel. It's really cool to see a show that's concerned with, how do we keep this intriguing and consistent? Never, oh well, I guess we, you know, got the next 3 years figured out, and I don't know that anyone will ever, you know, always be able to pick the brains. If they cancel this, there will be an outcry. There will be people like, oh, I recall that being good, or we're like, why would they cancel that? That's fucking stupid. This was a great show, and there's, it really will be compelling for many viewers, especially those, you know, if you're not even necessarily into crime movies, I could see you liking this because you like the cast members, you like a simple mystery, or just, again, someone, you know, held hostage one minute and then fighting back, It's not a Lifetime movie. It's not a stalker filler. It's not a pretentious and overblown psycho filler trying to be like Hannibal or, you know, just some other like it or hate it, tell them corruption. And again, you know, when you build your own fictional world in a shady Vegas area and then show them having to do so many different things, and even when you might perceive or think of a scenario that might get done, when it ends up happening, it never goes the way you think it will. Because so often when someone brings someone up, you're like, I bet they're getting a fixer. I bet they're getting a lawyer. I bet they're going out and shooting this person. No, it does so many 180s, and for the better. And so with that, I am tipping my hat. It's an easy 4 out of 5 binge watch for The Cleaning Lady. Again, if you want to watch it, you can try HBO Max, you can try Hulu, or you can record it off of your Fox affiliates on your cable TV package with your DVR. But, or again, you can just wait for a home media or digital rental or buy. That is perfectly fine. Whatever you got to do, please check it out. You won't regret it. And thank you for letting me sound off on it. I hope you enjoy the show. Please let us know how we're doing. We only get better if you voice what you think about us. But at the same time, you're welcome to come on the show if you like what we do and want to interact with us. We'd be happy to have you. If you also really just, again, dig the show, please leave us a review and of any kind. Just let us know what you thought. I'm curious. I don't want to hear myself just fucking talk. And even sound off on us on Instagram and Twitter. No spam or porn links, please. I'm not gonna go for that. That's bullshit. Actually, let us know how we're doing. And wait, we try to do something for everybody. We try to do interviews, different genres, a movie and TV show or music band retrospect, as well as even talk about other stuff like books, video games, and even restaurants. That's right, we talk about food. So if you enjoy the show, let us know. And ta-ta for now, folks.
We'll return after these messages.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We let things pile up in the DVR, we add them to our queues, we wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide, all across the globe. We are in the US, we are in the UK, we are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan. We're in Australia, y'all. BlindKnowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, Naruto, all things that we love, all manga that were originally published in the legendary magazine Weekly Shonen Jump.
But not every series can run for 300 chapters and have a hit anime. This is David.
This is Jordan.
We're the hosts of Shonen Flop. Each episode, we look at manga that ran in Jump that didn't quite make it.
We discuss what it did wrong, what it did right, how the series could have turned itself around, and ultimately, was it a flop or not?
Run all your favorite podcast apps, and you can find us at shonenflop.com.
Keep on flopping, floppers.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a Jacked Up.